We're going to read just two verses this morning from the book of Lamentations, and then also from Galatians chapter 5. You might say, why Lamentations? Isn't that a story of a poem here, or several poems actually, that talk about difficulties that people are going through, and the writer there expresses a lot of grief and so forth? Isn't there anything that can be hopeful in a book like that? Well, we already sang the hopeful part of that great book when we sang 139 this morning, because Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." That's quite a remarkable poem to have a couple of verses like that, isn't it? Well, we turn again to Galatians 5, where we've been studying the fruit of the Spirit. We are on fruit number 7 out of 9, and we're going to just read verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace." That has to do with our relationship to God. And then it also says here that it deals with patience and kindness and goodness. And that, of course, is talking about our relationship with other people. But the last three here, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, all have to do with our own selves and how we live as individuals. We're going to look at the one there, number 7, faithfulness. And that is our subject of the morning. As we've already mentioned, we sang the hymn this morning, "Great is thy faithfulness. There is no shadow of turning with thee." The wonderful thing about knowing our God is that God does not change. He doesn't fluctuate. You don't have to wonder if he's going to be one way one day and something different the next day. He's always the same in everything that he does. He's always good. He's always true. He's always righteous. He's always loving. He always wants to redeem sinners and forgive them. He remains the same. No shadow of turning. And of course, all of those things that I just mentioned are all part of that one word, faithfulness. I want to look at two things with you this morning. I want to look at, first of all, faithfulness as we see it in the example of Jesus Christ himself. Certainly you realize that as Christians, we not only believe in Jesus and have received him as our personal Savior, but we also want to live for him. He is the one that we are to follow. We are disciples of his. We are learning from him. We are watching him. We are following him. And you say, well, how can we follow him? And of course, we follow him as his Holy Spirit leads us in our own hearts. Also, as we read and study the scriptures that the Spirit gave us, so that we know how God wants us to be living. Now, Jesus Christ, in his example of faithfulness, demonstrated this in many different ways. The first one I'm going to mention here might surprise you, but when Jesus started his ministry, the first thing that he did was he went down to the Jordan River, and there he was baptized by John the Baptist. And I don't know if you remember this, but when he came there to be baptized, John was rather reluctant to do this. He said to him, "Now, Jesus, why do I need to baptize you?" And you can understand why he said that. Baptism, of course, pictures primarily two things. Number one, it is an outward expression of the washing away of sins that comes through the blood of Jesus. The baptismal waters themselves do not wash away sins, but they are a picture of the blood of Christ and how it washes away our sins. Now, Jesus wasn't a sinner, so why would something symbolic like that have to be done to him? Well, the answer was it didn't have to be done for that reason. But the next part of what baptism is about did have to do with Jesus Christ. In baptism, we are identified in a faith union with Jesus Christ and with all of his people. We are joined into a saving union with Jesus Christ. We are united with Him in His death. We are united with Him in His burial. We are identified with Him in His glorious resurrection. We are united to Him in every way, as well as all the other people of God. And Jesus looked at John and He says, I need to be baptized today because it fulfills all righteousness. Now, what He meant by that is simply this. Look, I want to do everything right that my Father would have me do. And one of the things that He wants me to do, before I even begin my earthly ministry here, I want to be publicly identified not only with my union with the Father and the Spirit, but I want to be identified also as one who is identified with all of the people of God, not only in times beforehand, but all who will come in the years ahead. He says, I need to do this in order to fulfill everything that's right. Now, what is He saying there? He's saying, look, I want to be faithful to everything God expected me to do. And that's a pretty good challenge for every one of us, because that's what God wants from us as well. Everything that Jesus did, when He went down into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, when He preached the good news everywhere He went, all over the area in which He lived, whether He healed the sick, whether He was willing to go even to suffer crucifixion on the cross, all of this was out of faithfulness to fulfill the mission that the Heavenly Father had given to Him. And to whatever end we are followers of Jesus Christ, we are to be faithful to that mission and ministry also, as Christ has summoned us to be. It's Christ's example, however, that provides, as I said, a pattern, a guideline for us to follow. Now, Jesus Christ was willing to do this, as we said, even to the point where faithfulness to God meant even being forsaken by God. You remember very well that when Christ was nailed to the cross, and as He was hanging on that cross, He cried out and He said, my God, why have You forsaken me? And yet He had to be forsaken by God, because by being forsaken by God, by having God the Father turn His back on Him, He was suffering the penalty that was due to every one of us for our sins. As long as a person remains outside of Jesus Christ, they are cut off from the Lord. They are separated from Him. They cannot be joined to Him. They cannot be saved by Him. It is only when they are united to Him by faith that all the blessings of salvation become theirs. But Jesus, of course, was forsaken by the Father so that you and I would never have to be, so that we could have forgiveness full and free and complete. The word faithfulness, too, is used to describe Jesus Christ in many other ways. In the book of Revelation, He is declared to be the faithful witness. You know, when there are court cases going on and a witness is called to testify, you want a witness that is going to be truthful. You don't want someone who's going to stand up there and tell only half the story. You want a true and faithful witness. The Bible says regarding Jesus both twice in the book of Revelation that He is a faithfulness. You can count on everything that Jesus ever has done or everything that He has ever said to you. Anything that His word declares from His own lips, you can be confident that it will always be true. It will always be faithful. Another thing that Jesus does is that not only is He a faithful witness, but He is also a faithful high priest. Now, of course, being a Protestant church, we don't have a priesthood in the same way that the Catholic Church does. However, that doesn't mean that we're unconcerned about priests. The Bible tells us that when we become joined to Christ, we become a spiritual priesthood. And yet, even though we are a spiritual priesthood now offering the sacrifice of our own life to God, yet we also know that Jesus, on the other hand, is the perfect priest who now lives in heaven with us. And every time you come to the Father in heaven with a prayer, whether it's a prayer request or it's a confession of your sin or whatever it is, it's our high priest, Jesus Christ, who makes the way open for us to be able to communicate with the Father in heaven. We have access into the very throne of heaven itself by way of Jesus Christ, the faithful priest. And you know there's something else about Jesus as a faithful priest too. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, the 7th chapter there, verse 25, that Jesus as a faithful priest ever lives to make intercession for all of us. You imagine that? Jesus Christ never stops praying for all of us. Isn't that amazing? What if for a few moments here this morning, Jesus would suddenly appear and we could see him with our own eyes? And what if Jesus Christ had a prayer session right here this morning, and then he went around the audience and he started on one end and he prayed for every single person that was here? You say, man, that would be amazing. I would never forget that if I heard Jesus pray for me. Well, listen, he does pray for you all the time. It says he ever liveth to make intercession. Jesus physically was dead, but he is alive now, and he is alive forevermore. He is eternally seated at the right hand of God the Father. There he continues to pray for us and make continual intercession on our behalf. You can always depend on Jesus. He is faithful. But you know, there's another aspect to this, and that is that faithfulness is something that we are to exhibit in our life as well. The Bible tells us that we are all children of God by reason of our being born again, by reason of our being united to Christ by faith. And because we are the children of God, it's very important to have the demonstration that we really belong to the family of God. Now, we know this often happens in a physical way. My wife was showing pictures of our little granddaughter last night that we just received, and we can start to see already that she's getting to look a little bit more like her brother already. She's got that little bit of family resemblance there. You know, I was looking around at those three Ingber sons there at the funeral too, looking at Steve and at Rusty and looking at Tim, and you can tell they're all from the same bunch. They're all tall, and they all have a look about them that you can just see the family resemblance. Well, you know, God wants to have a spiritual family resemblance in all of us. Now, one of the things the Bible says about God is that he is faithful to his covenants. If God makes a deal with you, a covenant with you, you can count on it. You know what? That's what God wants from us too. God wants us to be faithful in all the covenant or agreements that we make with other people as well. God is faithful to his calling. Whatever God calls us to do and says he will do for us, everything that he says is going to happen. And you know, that's what God wants from us too. If we are called of God into a certain job, a certain profession, we have certain talents or abilities that God gives to us, and he calls us into the carrying out of that purpose in our life, just as God faithfully does that for all of us, he wants us to do the same thing in the calling that he has given to us as well. He's also faithful, the Bible says, in caring for his children, even when they are tried, when they go through difficult times. Sometimes, you know, when we go through difficult times, we think, well, you know, is God here? Is God really aware of what's happening to me or to my family or to whatever? Why isn't it more obvious that God is doing something? But my friends, remember one thing. God is always at work in our life, and he is always caring for those who are his children, even when they are going through difficult times. In fact, in times like that, it is more important to realize that he is there in ways that we might never have realized before. We'll talk about that in just a little bit later today. The Bible says, too, that he's faithful to his creation. All that God made, he is faithful. Every year, same thing. You know, we get seed time, we get harvest. We get the summer, we get the fall, we get the winter, we get the spring. Sometime in Michigan, we get them all in one day. You know, it's amazing. But God is faithful year after year. God promised years ago when he brought a flood on the entire world in the days of Noah, he said, I'll never destroy the world again with a flood. Didn't say there'd never be any floods, but he said, I'll never do a flood like this one. He never has. You know, even our little grandson now knows that when he sees the rainbow in the heavens, that's one of God's promises to us. It's God keeping covenant. It's God being faithful in his creation. You know what else is great to know? The Bible says that God is faithful in cleansing us of our sins. Do we have any sinners here this morning? Well, I don't see any hands going up, but I trust that you don't have to, that we are all agreed that that is the case. Now, if there's anybody here who says that they're not, we want to talk to you afterwards. But the wonderful news is the Bible says, though, that if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Now, are you ready for this? Not 90% of our unrighteousness. Not even 99%. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every sin has been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. All we need to do is come to him and ask him to cleanse us and to forgive us. And the Bible says that he will. He is faithful to that. We look around at human fickleness. We look around at human faithlessness. And when you see that, we are never less like God than we are practicing those kind of things. But the more we practice a life of faithfulness, the more we are showing ourselves to be the real children of God that he has called us to be. Now, is God pleased when he sees his children living that way? Why, of course he is. You look at the scriptures and you see that there's many different ways that the Bible indicates this. It is stated in 1 Corinthians 4 that it is required of students that they be, or stewards rather, that they be found faithful. Every one of us are stewards of something. God gives us an assignment that he wants us to fulfill. Your assignment might be to work at a certain factory, or to work on a certain farm, or your assignment might be to teach in a school somewhere, or your assignment might be something totally different, but everyone has one. We've been entrusted with a stewardship. Some are given an additional stewardship. They've been entrusted with the responsibility of being husbands or wives or faithful parents to the children and so forth, grandchildren. We have a stewardship that God wants us to fulfill. And what is God looking for from his stewards? The Bible says it right there in 1 Corinthians 4. It says there, it is required of a man or woman who is a steward to be faithful. That's what God is looking for most of all. Faithfulness. People who are totally committed to what he has asked them to do. Jesus told a story in Matthew 25 about the parable of the talents. And there God commended certain servants who were given various tasks to do. And yet, which ones did he commend and which ones did he not commend? Well, he commended those that were faithful. Some had been given more talents than others, but the important thing was not how many they had received. The important thing was what had they done with what they had been given? Had they been faithful? And everyone that had been faithful in the assignment that was given to them, God was pleased with them and rewarded them accordingly. I didn't say that brought their salvation. Salvation's a free gift that we receive by faith. But you know what? God does reward us for a life of faithfulness. The Bible's very clear about that. You read through the epistles, and we don't have time to look at all these scriptures here, but I listed them for you in your study notes. The Bible repeatedly, in the epistles, tells us the different pictures of the faithfulness that God is looking for in us, the kind of faithfulness that ought to be found in the life of those who are really serving Jesus Christ. Now, the fruit of the Spirit working in us then involves not only trusting God in our lives, trusting him by faith, but God also, more than just trusting in him, God wants us to be trustworthy for him, to be faithful in all that we do for him. The Bible says, if you make a promise, if you say, yes, I will, then let your yes be yes and your no be no. Be faithful. If you promise to pay a certain bill, then do it. I talked with a businessman recently who said one of the problems that we have is that sometimes people come around and they want to avail themselves of the services that we offer as a company. And so we go out and we do our very best. And then when people find out what they have, you know, obligated themselves to, a lot of them are shocked. Well, you know, you can't expect me to pay all that right now, can you? Or and some of them don't even pay at all. Some of them, months later, they're still trying to be tracked down to faithfully carry out the obligation that they have incurred. And, you know, those who are believers in Jesus Christ ought to strive to be the best people with the payment of their bills if they can be. I know sometimes people go through hard times, but even then, there are ways that people can take proper steps to make sure that they're fulfilling their obligations there. All of our obligations, we are to seek to be faithful to. Now, I want to close today by just telling you a story again that I'm sure many of you know. It's from the Old Testament, and it's a story about the man whose name was Daniel. And Of course, I've become a lot more partial to that name now that I have a grandson by that name. But you know what? The man Daniel was unbelievable in the Old Testament times. And he is, of course, listed in the Old Testament scriptures. And I want to just turn over to Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to look at just a couple of verses here that show you something remarkable about this man. After Darius became the new king, he looked around at all the people in his empire and determined who he wanted to have serving in the top positions. And right up near the top was the man Daniel. And Daniel distinguished himself because everything that he did it the way it was supposed to be done. He was a man of integrity. He was a man of honesty. He was a man who worked hard. And even though when Darius appointed him to this position, he was already quite advanced in years, yet he didn't look back and say, well, you know, I'm getting kind of old now. I'm getting to be too old to be as committed as I used to be. Well, he was a faithful man. Listen, one day, though, there were some people in the kingdom who said, you know, we hate this Daniel. We'd like to have his position too, or we'd like to see him knocked down a little bit. And you know what? How are we going to do that? We're going to find something in him, you know, so often happens in the world of government. People are looking for ways to dog each other and to hurt each other. And that's what was going on back then, too. Some things never change, do they? They looked around at his life and they said, you know what? There's not one thing that we can find in Daniel's life where we could get him in trouble, except for maybe one thing. It would have to be in his religious faith, because we know he is one dedicated believer in his God. So what do they do? Then these men said, this is verse 5 of chapter 6, we shall not find any ground for complaint against Daniel, unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. So what did they do? They went to the king and they said, let's make a new rule. See, you're a new king now. Let's let people know that, you know, you're really the king and you're top dog and all of that. How about, O king, if for 30 days we make a rule that nobody will pray to any other god and they can only pray to you? Can you imagine that? You might say, well, what was this king thinking that he would allow people to pray to him? But you know what? Many times in Bible situations, we see that kings were willing to do that. Do you know that one day there is going to be another leader that will be in the world, and he is going to occupy a place even in the temple that will be built in Jerusalem? And when he occupies that point, he is going to stand up in the Jerusalem temple, and he's going to say, I am in charge of the whole world, and I want people to worship me. I want them to bow down to me. I want them to do only what I do. He's going to think that he's the top ruler and the top religious leader of all the world. His name is Antichrist. Don't think it's impossible. You know, when Adolf Hitler was living, many people who heard Mr. Hitler speak, he was a powerful speaker. And many people, when they heard him, said, "It's just like the voice of a God." Of course, if that's the voice of a God, I don't need a God like that, do you? When you look at his track record of all the people and innocent lives that he killed. But you see how easily people can be swept into the wrong thinking. And so they said to this king, "Listen, how about it? We make this deal. Nobody can pray to any other place except to you." And you know what? They thought, now we'll get this Daniel in trouble. Because, why? They knew that every day Daniel went to his room, and three times a day he prayed in the direction of Jerusalem, where he had originally been coming from. He had been a child there, a boy there, but he had been snatched away by the Babylonians, and then now here he is under the Medes and the Persians. He finds himself in captivity, and yet even then he is still being faithful to Jehovah God after all those years. Three times a day he had a prayer session praying to God. We think we're doing well by having three of them a week here. You know, one on Wednesday, one on Sunday night, and one on Friday morning. But I'll tell you something, Daniel did it three times a day. Well, sure enough, they had people stationed near Daniel's house, and they watched, and they saw that sure enough, there was Daniel. He was bowing down by his window facing Jerusalem just like he always did. Now, somebody might have said, "Well, look, didn't Daniel know about the rule?" Sure he did. Well, why didn't he just close the window? Why didn't he just hide in his room somewhere and do it? Because that wasn't what Daniel was going to do. Daniel was committed to his God. He was a man who was faithful to God. He wasn't going to change. Let the king change, but he wasn't going to change. And I hope if times ever get tough in our country too, where whoever is leading our country begins to demand things of us that are totally contrary to our faith, then we ought to follow Jesus. We ought to follow the word of God and not the opinion of man. It is not man who is our final authority. It is God who is our authority, and God's word is our final authority. Daniel kept on praying, and sure enough, they went right to the king and said, "Help! Didn't you make a deal? Didn't you say?" "Why, yes, I did." "Well, you know that Daniel, he's doing the wrong thing. We caught him. We saw it with our own eyes." Well, you know what? Daniel didn't change. And when they arrested him and they brought him to the king was one sorry man, because he knew that he well might be losing one of the top, most honorable men in all of his government because he had made a foolish thing and allowed himself to be worshipped, and it would mean the cost of this man in his own life. But the deal was, whoever is caught praying to anybody other than you, O king, gets thrown into the den of lions. Boy, oh boy. How would you like to be in that situation? You get thrown in this great big old den. Very good chance that before your feet even hit the ground, they'd be all over you and kill you. But you know what? It didn't happen, because Daniel was faithful. And God chose to reward that faithfulness. Am I trying to tell you that every time a Christian gets in trouble and is threatened with persecution, that God is going to save them every time? No, we know from history that simply is not the case. However, what is the case is what is clearly stated in the scriptures, that if God desires to save one of his people as a testimony to how great his power is, he can do it. He can do it at any time he wants to. And that's what he decided to do with Daniel, because Daniel had been such a faithful man. That night, the king couldn't sleep. Normally, they had people bring music to him. They didn't have television then, so they brought music into the king so he could listen to music at night. But he refused to hear any music that night. The next morning, he raced down to the den there, and he called out, "Oh, Daniel, are you there?" And he said, "Oh, king, it's all right. The Lord my God has come, and he has shut the lion's mouth." Man, man, can this be true? Maybe they had been fed a lot of food beforehand and they just weren't hungry. Come on, these are lions. What do you think? That many lions in a big den like that? I'll tell you, they were hungry. You know how we know? Because as soon as it was evident that God had honored Daniel once again because of his faithfulness, the king said, all right, I fulfilled the law that I had to. Now, where are those guys who reported on Daniel? And they took those men, and they took their wives, and they took all of their children, and they all were thrown into the den of lions. And the Bible says that before their feet hit the ground, they were already being killed by these lions. Now, I'm not trying to suggest anything by what happened to them, except to say that, look, God knows those who are faithful. And whether he chooses to honor them in a public way in this life or in the world to come, it doesn't matter. God knows who are faithful to him, and he will reward them. He will reward them abundantly. The rewards of God are very, very great. Why was this reward given to him? He was faithful. That's what God is looking for you and me as well. Many years ago, right here at Faith Chapel, we used to have a little hymn book here. Had a little song in it, Dare to be a Daniel. Standing by a purpose firm, heeding God's command. That was Daniel. And the song always ended with a chorus, Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. That is what God wants from us. You can always depend on God. He, however, the question is, can he depend on you and on me? He is faithful. His faithfulness is never in question. What about our faithfulness to him? The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Let's pray to God now. Father, we come to you today. We thank you that we could be reminded again of this important concept that is taught clearly in the Bible. Help us to learn and to become more of what your word declares us, declares rather for us to do. Lord, we fail you in this so many times, but we are thankful that even in this, you are faithful and just to forgive us all of our sins and to cleanse us. Lord, cleanse us now from every failure, from every shortcoming, but give us hearts that love to be faithful to do your holy will. We pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen.